line to that has got to be this, that God will never leave us, nor He'll never forsake us. There's a quote that I found, and I think it's very good, and it talks about this, and it says, there have been many times in my life when that kind of support is really needed, that kind of support being the support of God is really needed, and I felt like no one else could understand the burden that I was carrying. I was swamped by a wave of discouragement. I could have lost the love of my life at a couple of points. There are moments when you feel totally abandoned and isolated, alone, and then there's Jesus. His hand is on yours saying, I'm right here. That might be the kind of be there person you need right now in your life. How many of us have felt like this picture illustrates? That we're all alone on a road, all by ourselves. That we're traveling a path that no one else is on. How many of you found yourself in that kind of a situation, in a circumstance? Well, the thing about that is that what happens is the enemy tries to isolate us. By the enemy, I'm talking about the devil. He's a bad guy. In the story of Darth Vader, he's Darth Vader before he turns to the good side of the Force. The devil is there trying to convince us that we're all alone, that we have no one to turn to, that there is not a support system. And the thing about it is, if he can get you to realize, and if he can get you to feel like you're alone, like you're walking this road of life alone, if he can keep you isolated, he can keep you tied up in fear. If he can keep you tied up in fear, then he can keep you distracted from what it is that God really has for your life. Passage of Scripture says, I walk through the valleys. I can't hardly see this. My eyes are getting bad. I walk through the valley as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. That's in Psalms 23. Your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. A shepherd uses a rod for stability. And God wants us to use our relationship with Him as stability in our lives. All of us are familiar with this kind of a picture. It's the shepherd reaching out for the sheep. The Word of God says that He will leave the main flock to go after the one. But my challenge to you tonight is this. Why be the one that's isolated and alone? Why put yourself in that kind of position? Joshua, in his book, it says that Joshua, I will be with you and help you as I helped Moses, and no one will ever be able to defeat you. The Word of God is clear about the fact that we are never going to be alone. That God, if we have relationship with Him, Tim, I know you're taking notes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. Yeah, if we have relationship with Him, that God walks beside us. Even when we don't feel that He's there, His presence is there. Going back to that statement that I made before about if he can convince you that you're isolated and alone, he can get you distracted and he can get you off kilter of what God's plan is for your life. You don't know how many people walk into counseling agencies, how many people walk into school counselors, how many people walk into my office and they say, I don't feel like there's anybody who cares. Well, I'm here to let you know that if you're a Christian, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have made a commitment to Jesus and said, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, walk with me. If you made that kind of commitment to Jesus, you don't have to walk alone. He is there. And that sense of Him being there should bring us comfort beyond anything else in our life. He's always there. Just like the Verizon guy in the network, He's always there. What makes us feel alone? We've already talked about the fact that the lies and the destruction of the enemy tries to make us feel like this slide illustrates. Like, oh my word, if I just had to walk one more step, I couldn't do it. The Word of God calls us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He says that we're His kids. So we have to go beyond believing what we feel and take it to the next level and believe what His Word has to say. But here's a question that I have for you. How are you going to believe what the Word of God has to say for you if you never spend time in the Word of God? God has also said that He gave us eternal life, and that this life comes to us from His Son. And so if we have God's Son, we have this life. But if we don't have the Son, we don't have this life. If you're in here tonight and you've never made a decision, if you've never come to a point in time in your life where you've asked Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins, then it is a lonely road. And to a certain degree, there is no hope. There's hope in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you're walking the road alone, and if you are so consumed by, I'm not going to allow religion, I'm not going to allow a relationship with Jesus Christ to control my life, no one's going to be in control but me. If you have that kind of mentality tonight, it is kind of hopeless. There isn't a bright ending. Because all that you have to depend on is yourself. But God says that He's the tree. He's the tree of life, and He's rooted down deep inside of us. Those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have that assurance of knowing that God is in control. There used to be a Christian song out by that title. It says that God is in control. And it reminded believers that no matter what they were going through, that the love and grace of Jesus Christ was always there. We sometimes need to allow our loneliness to drive us to Jesus Christ, to drive us in a relationship with Jesus. God says He'll use all circumstances for His good. So part of that is that if tonight you're feeling alone, allow God to use that circumstance in your life to bring you into right relationship, right fellowship with Him. God is willing to use whatever it takes to bring you into relationship with Him. All you have to do is receive it. But are you sure? Are you sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? In small group, they're going to talk about this. They're going to talk about a staircase and steps. And steps of knowing that you're in right relationship with God. One of the signs of being in right relationship with God is this. That true belief leads to obedience. And it says here on the bottom, it says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commandments. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. You can't say that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and live like the world. Now, here again, I'm not saying that being a Christian means that you're always going to be perfect, that you're always going to make the right decision. But there's an attitude in your heart. That attitude, another word for that attitude is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, if you're a true believer, that compels you to righteousness. But if you're constantly saying no to the things that the Spirit of God inside you is trying to get you to do, and if you're constantly, back to what we said before, constantly saying, no, I'm going to go my own way, I'm not going to yield to what the Spirit of God has for me, then you have to question this step, this assurance of what the Word of God has to say in regards to salvation. Step number two, love for others develops. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Do you truly have compassion and love for people? Are you able to love the unlovable? Now, I'm not saying that that's something that you automatically do, and that's not something that's a trained, that's not something that isn't a trained habit, but do you have the heart that says, God, I want to reach out to the people who no one else reaches out to? You're sitting there saying, I'm 16, I'm 17 years old. I mean, that goes total counterculture to what I'm supposed to be about. I'm all supposed to be about me. No, if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, it's all about him. And allowing him to draw you to the people who are in need of him. There was a speaker that I went to see not too awfully long ago, and he was in his 50s, and he said that when he went to his first dance back years ago, when he came home from his dance, he said his father took him out and he said, did you have a good time? He said, yeah, I had a great time. And he said, did you dance with a lot of pretty girls? And he said, of course I danced with a lot of pretty girls. And then he said, were there some girls there that no one danced with? And he looked kind of puzzled. And he thought for a minute. And he said, yeah. And the father said to the son, the next dance that you have, just pick one, just pick two, just pick three of those people who no one would dance with and take them out on the dance floor so that they can have a good time. Loving the unlovable, that is what our call is as Christians. Step three. Christ's Spirit lets you know that he is with you. There's an understanding that comes inside of you and a knowing that comes inside of you when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you walk around and questioning whether or not you have a relationship with Christ, questioning whether or not you're in right relationship with God, then talk to somebody. Talk to one of the leaders that are here tonight. Talk to me. Set up a time for us to talk some other time. But make sure that you know that you know that you know that you have the assurance of salvation. What they're going to share in small group tonight will help give you the keys to that assurance so that you can know for sure. But beyond that, if there's questions there, Don't allow the enemy to use those questions to hold you back from all that God has. Step four, Christians tell others about Christ. Christians tell others by the things that they say, by the lifestyle that they live. And here's the thing about it is if you're claiming to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and your life doesn't show that, then you have to ask yourself some hard questions. I'm not saying that you have to be the school's evangelist. But I'm saying, for instance, last Wednesday, if you walked up to school and walked right past your school's flagpole while there were other Christians that were sitting there praying, when you had an opportunity to display the faith of God that you have in your heart, and you didn't take that opportunity, you have some evaluation that you need to do. "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me water. Then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. God, give me the spirit of life that I can live and be whole. Allow your life to shine through mine." Step five, God promises that by believing in Christ, we can be His children. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well." Jesus truly is the answer. A relationship with Jesus answers all the questions that you have. I'm not saying it solves all the problems. I'm not saying that it makes everything magically go away and your life's wonderful. But I'm saying that there is a peace that passes all understanding once you make the determination that you want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing you'll do to affirm your salvation. What is one thing this week that you will do to let the world know that you have Jesus inside of you? Pray about it. Talk about it. Think about it. Pray about it tonight when you go home. Lord, what is the one thing that I can do to show the people at school, to show my friends, to show my family, to show those that I come in contact with that I have a relationship with you? And then finally, thank God every day for the grace and the mercy that He has for us, for the loving kindness that He shows us, for His love endures forever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You. We worship You. We give You praise and glory and honor. And Lord, I pray as these young people go into their small group time and their recreation time and the rest of this evening, Father God, that these words that were spoken here would be sealed in their hearts, and as they unpack them throughout the night, Father, that You would change lives, that You would allow us to be whole, that You would allow us to find in You the peace that we need. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen, amen. All right, I believe junior high, who's looking at a schedule? Does junior high go to small group first? Junior high, head with Sharon Oyer for games, senior high in the youth group room. What are you guys doing for games?
We were going to do the squat smash thing.